curved golden light rises like a sunset. The light emanates from a spinning globe with blue oceans and green continents, which hangs suspended in a black universe. Universal. The white shimmering letters MGM spin round silently against a black screen. G2 Films, an MGM company. The screen goes to black. Florence, 1935. A black and white image of the Ponte Vecchio and the River Arno.
È primavera, svegliatevi bambine, alle fascine messe riaprire farrugato.
The Spires of a Duomo, an Italian-British co-production, Medusa Film, Catalia, Cineritmo, Rome, Film and General Productions, London. The black and white images gradually change to colour. Red rooftops stretch into the distance. Faraway grey-green hills and a pale blue sky smattered with fluffy white cloud. A Franco Zeffirelli film starring Cher, Judi Dench, Joan Plowright, Maggie Smith, Lily Tomlin. And introducing Charlie Lucas and Baird Wallace as Luca in Tea with Mussolini. With Massimo Gini, Paola Seganti, Michael Williams, Mino Bailey, Paula Jacobs, Paul Checker, Tessa Pritchard, Claudio Spadaro. A group of English, elderly, elegantly dressed ladies with parasols, among them the tall, thin, grande dame, Lady Hester Random, and the eccentric Arabella Delancey, meander along a Florentine street, chatting and laughing. Music by Alessio Vlad and Stefano Arnaldi. A homely, plump woman, Mary Wallace, holds the hand of a young boy named Luca and hurries into the Piazza della Signoria. Screenplay by John Mortimer and Franco Zeffirelli, based on the autobiography of Franco Zeffirelli. The English group file into a sunlit graveyard. A smartly dressed man from the British consul quickly hurries towards the front of the gruelist with a camera, calls out to the man from the consul.
Excuse me, are you the consul?
Yeah.
Connie Rayner of the Morning Post. I'm fascinated to know what His Majesty's consul in Florence makes of it all.
I can't believe your readers will be interested in our little ceremony.
Oh, they are. Since Mussolini, we can't get enough of Italy. This is a regular group. I mean, are they all friends?
Friends? The Italians call them the Scorpioni.
Scorpioni? Why?
Why? Because they bite. Not me. They tried, but I bite back.
Your Lady Hester seems a formidable old battle axe.
Ah, live in an age of great dictators.
As the group gather round a grave, Lady Hester brings down her parasol. Mary and Luca pause at the Duomo, Santa Maria del Fiore. It's the 29th of June, 1935.
We are here.
Come.
Today, to remember you, Elizabeth Barrett Browning, a true English lady who, with her poet husband, Robert Browning, found true happiness in this glorious city of Florence, thus celebrating the marriage between our two great countries, England and Italy. My late husband, the ambassador.
I wondered when we get to our late husband.
My late husband, Sir Edmund, always dreamt that England and Italy would help form a united...
Mary seems to have a child with us.
Mary pulls Luca towards the gathering.
So we pay tribute to you, dear Elizabeth, who brought to this country not only poetry, but a fine example of British motherhood.
Mary pushes through.
I'm sorry. Excuse me, please.
I'm sorry, Mary. We had to start.
She glances disdainfully at the boy.
Arabella, your turn. Veronica, please.
Veronica lifts her violin and bow. Arabella steps dramatically towards a tombstone and drapes herself over it. She raises her head and turns to her audience. Brown-eyed Luca watches her curiously.
From English blood and Tuscan birth, what country should we give her? Instead of any on the earth, the civic heavens receive her, while the blue Tuscan sky assumes...
Arabella glances at Lady Hester.
while the blue Tuscan sky entombs our English words of prayer.
Arabella steps forward to take a theatrical bow. She bends down, brings a hand to her mouth, and inhales.
Thank you, Arabella, thank you.
Mary types for her employer, Glenary, a suave cloth manufacturer, who flicks through a swatch book of fabrics.
Caro signor Keegan, most respected and famoso mercante di Manchester.
Dear sir?
I am in grande gratitudine for the
looking
massive and important bundle of silk which will bring lacrime allegre to the eyes of molte bellissime signore Florentine.
Thank you for the consignment of fabric. It is up to your usual standard.
Please accept, signore, my most humble compliments and sincerissimi good wishes.
Yours sincerely.
Ah, Miss Wallace, that's all for today.
No, it isn't.
She looks at him.
Your son.
My son? He is at orphan school. Why?
No, he isn't. He ran away to find his mother.
And that's the orphanage's business.
You brought him into the world. You are responsible for
it. Of course I'm responsible. I pay for his education. And I still pay you to turn him into a perfect British gentleman who'll speak better English than mine. What more can I do?
Give him a home. The child will run away again. I'm sure of it. He's convinced his mother will come back soon.
He stands over her.
Why don't you take him with you then?
What?
I have been thinking about it for some time. He likes you. He's happy with you,
no.
Miss Wallace.
No, no, no. You must take him with you into your family.
Celia.
But you are his father.
Yeah, of course I'm father.
Then try to persuade your wife. Might do her good to have a child to look after.
Ma che la dice? Can you imagine that my wife accepts a bastard in our house? My wife.
Signor Glenary. There are no illegitimate children in this world. Only illegitimate parents.
Parole. Paroloni. Ma era scema.
Mary ushers Luke.
Good morning to your father.
Good morning.
Have you gone mad? How dare you?
You bring the child here. The wife. That can arrive any moment.
He paces frantically.
Tu sta buono lì, eh? Miss Wallace, in England such behavior is perhaps possible, but in Italy, believe me, this is the end of the world. The end of the world. Bring him back to the orphanage subito, or bring him to live with you, or do what you want.
It's a responsibility I cannot assume.
If you're married, if you know what is love, you understand certain situations very, very
delicately. She faces him. Sorry you made me say that.
Mi scusi, eh?
La signora. La signora!
Ecco, lo sapevo io.
I knew it. Don't let her come in. Go quickly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you haven't answered my question.
Si, possession.
We have made no decision.
I call you at the phone. Okay,
he pushes Mary and Luca out a door and closes it and scurries to his desk and tries to compose himself before calling to his assistant. Mary takes Luca's hand and bustles out the front door onto the street. He turns back and glances up towards his father's office window. Luca walks slowly by Mary's side through a square past a tinkling fountain towards the orphanage where a porter lets them in. Take a seat, I'll go and call the priest. The priest bends his head solemnly and steps towards a bench with Mary, down a long corridor flanked by stone arches. Mary watches young boys sit alone here and there. A small group of children are escorted by a cleric. The porter addresses a priest. That lady is bringing back the runaway child. Mary catches the eye of a little fair-haired boy who scratches his knee nervously. A nun runs up to the child. The nun gently tilts his tear-streaked face up towards hers and helps him to his feet. She leads the boy, who's clutching a crust of bread, away. Mary looks down at Luca, who's huddled close to her, with his little hand placed firmly over her gloved one. The priest and porter walk quickly down a corridor towards Mary's bench. As they approach it, the priest pauses. There's no one here.
No, c'è nessuno.
They were there. They must have gone. Pensione Shelley.
Luca, would you get the knives and forks? You know where they are.
Luca goes to get them.
Oh, and the napkins, please.
She places a basket of bread and a jug of water on a table. Luca brings the cutlery and napkins.
Thank you. And glasses.
He goes to get the glasses while Mary sets the table. Luca stares at some framed photographs on top of a cupboard.
Who are they?
They're English soldiers.
Luca points to one.
Is he a brother?
No, Luca, I don't have a brother. No, his name's Danny. He's the young man I was going to marry. And that's my father. They both went to fight in the Great War, and they didn't come back. But they're always with me. Now, you get your
He carries chair. A chair to the table, and Mary brings a plate of bacon and eggs. Luca sniffs at his plate curiously.
Haven't you ever had bacon and eggs before?
She places a napkin on his lap.
Go on, try it. It's very good.
He tries a piece of bacon. Mary smiles and takes her seat. She watches Luca dip a piece of bread into his egg yolk and eat it happily.
Can I stay here with you? Until my mother comes back.
He looks appealingly at Mary.
Yes. Just as long as you like.
Luca beams. Mary puts a telephone down.
Oh, the man is impossible.
She joins Arabella and two other elderly ladies in a lounge.
What did he say?
It's no good. He simply won't listen. It seems it's up to me.
We'll all help you.
Well, it's my problem, but you can all help if you will.
Oh, of course we will. Arabella, Wednesday and Friday, could you do the art bit? You
know,
music, galleries?
Yes,
the museum.
Yes, what else?
Well, fetch him from school when I can't, and mealtimes.
Arabella does the Uffizi, and I do the supper. Three times a week.
All right. Do you mind terribly?
I think I might rather enjoy
Luca
it.
Walks with Arabella.
I don't like this coughing. She's been doing
her
it
dog.
All night. Perhaps I should take her to the vet.
She cuddles her dog and sets him down.
What was I saying?
About art.
Italians breathe it in with the air of Florence, not like us cold English.
Are you cold?
Not me, Luca. I have drunk deep the wine of Firenze. I've warmed both hands before the fires of Botticelli and Michelangelo. Is he coughing again?
Is he cold too?
Come on, come on. We'll be late.
They continue on. Arabella pauses by the Istituto d'Arte.
Luca, we've got to see this. We've just got time before school, but this is something you mustn't miss. I'll show you something you'll never forget.
They look down a hall filled with statues.
You see, Luca, Florence isn't just shiny cars and ice creams, as little boys think. It's the human form divine, the body beautiful. And you, yes, you could be part of that world. To make, to create. To live as those old artists did, Luca, is to share a part in the divine plan.
Luca's awestruck.
We must go. We're going to be late for school.
Placing her arm round his shoulders, she leads Luca, who's dressed in dark blue shorts and coat with a white necktie, out into the Piazza del Duomo, where booksellers stand by their stalls and other children are ushered to school.
Now, I'll be back later to take
Kissing
you home.
His cheeks.
I must run to the vet. Oh, well done, old girl. You've done terribly well.
Luca watches her pick up her dog and dash away at the vet's. The English lady, come in. Arabella stands up and enters the vet surgery. It's 12:30 and all the blue uniformed children run out the school gates and into the arms of their parents. Every adult claims a child. Luca stands back searching for Arabella and watches the other children perch onto the crossbar or sit on the carriers of bicycles before they're carried away. One child waves to Luca, who waves back forlornly. Luca stands outside the gates and looks round. 30s with brown fur-lined coat and a pillbox hat with netting sneers at him.
Bastardo.
bastard come here? Luca's mouth opens. Little bastard, come here, I said. She takes a step towards him and Luca makes a run for it. You're right to be afraid of me, but you won't escape me. You'll pay for it, son of a bitch.
You tell your wife to leave the child alone, or I'll call the police.
My wife's had a lot to put up
with. He's on
the
telephone.
What are you expecting me to do? Lock her up?
Yes, if necessary. Will you try to understand what I'm telling you? I might agree to look after Luca on certain conditions. As far as he's concerned, you might not even exist. Just give him some of the valuable time you spend on your cloth. And all the rest.
Si, si, si.
The child needs a father, for God's sake!
Lenieri.
5 lira.
He holds it up.
Silver, eh? For your pocket.
He gives it to Luca.
Grazie, signor Guarnieri.
Luca, in English, eh? In English.
Thank you, Mr. Guarnieri.
That is better. But why you not call me Papa?
Luca looks down.
Because? What?
Because you don't take me to school in a bicycle.
Luca nods.
Well, Miss Wallace,
he glances at Mary, who sits nearby on a park bench. Later, he sits with Luca in an outdoors cafe reading a celebrity magazine. He checks his watch. Luca eats ice cream.
When is she coming back?
Lenieri looks at him.
I don't know. She's busy, you know. In Paris.
He returns to his magazine. A horse and carriage pull up on the street, and an elderly waiter whispers into Glenary's ear and points to it.
Oh, man.
Luca looks up and dashes across the street towards the carriage.
Luca! Luca!
Glenary follows him. From her park bench, Mary looks up. Luca runs to the carriage. A pretty young woman leans out and smiles at him. Glenary runs up behind Luca. He pulls Luca around the back of the carriage.
Luca,
listen to me, Luca. She's a friend of Papa's.
Ci vediamo domenica prossima. I'll see you next Sunday. Via, via la macchina. Fai bravo, eh? Ciao, ciao.
To the carriage and the driver pulls away.
Vai, vai, benissimo.
Glenary waves. Luca leans sadly over a bridge as Mary approaches. He doesn't look at her.
I thought my mother would come back.
She will not be coming back, Luca.
I don't understand. Why?
Do you remember the 2 photographs you saw in my room?
Your soldiers. They didn't come back.
Yes. But they're always with me, even though they're not here. Love doesn't die. And in the same way, your mother will always be with you. Even though she's
not here.
Mary closes her eyes, then nods gently. Luca drops his head against his arms, then looks out over the River Arno and the Ponte Vecchio ahead as the setting sun casts a warm pink glow over the glass like water. Mary puts her arm round his shoulder. A black-and-white chauffeur-driven convertible rounds a corner in the Tuscan hills and pulls up. A dark-haired, stylish beauty, Elsa Morgenthau, sits in the back.
It's supposed to be around here
Luca
somewhere.
Runs towards the car to feel the smooth curves of its bonnet.
Excuse me.
What a beautiful car.
Can you tell me where a Signora Georgina Rockwell is?
You mean Georgie? She's
he
over
points.
There.
Thanks a million, kid. Grandmama, do we really need a tablecloth?
Of course we do, Wilfred.
But it always blows away.
Well, then find some little stones and put them on the corner.
Wilfred skulks off.
He really is quite charming, Lady Hester, your grandson.
Poor boy. He lost his father at Passchendaele, and his mother was never very strong. I've had to be father and mother to him.
You've done a marvellous job.
Smiling graciously, she mouths, "Thank you." The convertible pulls up nearby.
Don't I remember that particularly ostentatious vehicle?
She stares at the woman in the back seat.
Oh, no, it can't be.
I think so. Mrs. Morgenthau is back. Should we invite her to tea?
I think not. Americans simply don't understand picnics.
Luca leads Elsa through an archaeological site.
Georgie!
Archaeologist Georgie appears.
Hey, Georgie!
Elsa! Elsa!
They hug.
Where in the hell have you been?
Oh, sweetheart, why do you have to do your digging in these dusty, dirty places?
The American collectors are back in Italy. That's where all the bargains are now. And plenty of fakes as well.
You got your fofo in, you take your fofo out.
Americans.
Elsa.
You know Cesare Poggi, the art dealer, don't you?
Ah, si.
Okay, well, he telephoned me in Paris to... Oh, my God, it was so hot there. Georgia could have fried an egg on the sidewalk. Here, hold that for me.
And Cesare said?
Yes, well, he said he just found the first version of Picasso's Demoiselle d'Avignon.
And you bought it?
Well, of course, I...
Connie Rayner of the Morning Post in London. Do you mind if I take notes?
No.
Yes, sweet.
No, I want everyone to hear about this. Anyway, when he called, I said yes immediately, but that penny-pinching son of a bitch husband of mine said no, pitched a fit, and then faked a heart attack. But I say good riddance to bad rubbish.
No, she really does not.
Oh, mean. I really do. I really do. What I can't get over is the fact that he's too cheap to slip a poor girl a little Picasso.
Hard to believe.
I know.
Maybe you could sell this and buy it.
No, I couldn't. I want to keep this one, thank you very much. But mark my words, I'm going to have that goddamn painting if it's the last thing I do.
And she will, believe me. You know, it was very sweet of you to point me in the right direction. Here.
She holds out some money to Luca, then recognizes him.
Luca? 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 Luca! Oh, my God, look at you! You have sprung up like a little bean sprout since the last time I saw you. Oh, my goodness, look at you. Now, you tell your mother that I'm going to need a completely new wardrobe, so I plan to keep her as busy as a little beaver. And you know, Luca, she's really better than anyone else. Better than Schiaparelli, than...
Elsa.
Luca slouches away.
There was no chance to tell you, but Clara's dead.
Elsa stares at Georgie.
My God, Georgie.
Nothing to be done. Just...
Elsa turns to look at Luca.
But what about the boy?
One of the English women, Mary Wallace, has been looking after him.
Elsa looks away.
Will you tell this Mary Wallace that I want to talk with her?
A group of boys run along a busy street and blow through pea shooters. The boys hover around Lady Hester and her fellow expatriate companions in the Scorpione.
It's too bad. Now go away, please.
Two of Mussolini's black shirts push the boys away, then one takes Lady Hester's arm.
Oh! Thank you.
He leads her across the street. Lady Hester smiles girlishly.
Grazie.
They pose while Connie takes a photo. Elsa sits with Mary in an elegant cafe.
Look, everybody knows how I live my life. I live my life like a crazy woman. But I loved Clara. We had this strange relationship. I mean, she didn't even bill me sometimes, but that's beside the point. And I know what kind of a hard time Luca's father gave her. I'm sure he's not even helping you.
Sometimes.
I'm sure you're being too kind. Anyway, I know that I owe her a lot of money, and I was thinking that possibly I would put the money into a trust for Luca, and I want to know what you think about that.
It would make all the difference to his life.
Well, I mean, it's not a lot of money, you know. It's just enough to give him...
Independence.
Yes.
Elsa nods. Mary reaches out and squeezes her arm.
Thank you.
Luca steps towards his table, proudly holding an ice cream.
Oh, do look. Oh, look. Look. Look at that ridiculous American monstrosity they've given the child. What do they call them? Knickerbocker glories. It's amazing, you know, they can even vulgarize ice cream.
Don't worry. We're all taking care of him.
Are you sure you know what you're doing? It's one thing to take care of stray dogs. It's quite another to take care of stray boys.
At a Tuscan mansion, Cesare placates Elsa.
Elsa, darling!
Don't give me that Elsa, darling, crap!
Elsa,
now,
listen.
Where's my goddamn Picasso?
If you send the money when I call...
I told you that Morgenthau wouldn't give me the money then, Cesare! God damn it! Wait, buy it back. Offer them more money.
No, Elsa, please.
And I want it now. Georgie, do you understand what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, okay, yes. I try for you, okay? I promise, I try.
I don't want you to try, Chizzy. I want you to get it.
Yes, I will get it, okay?
Is that an Italian get it or an American get it?
I will get it for you, okay?
Okay, Chazzy, I'm sorry I got mad at you. I love you.
I love you,
thank you, too. Thank you. I just love this pig so much, yes, Cesare.
I know. Oh, I'm sorry, yes, I know. I'm sorry. My back. I had some problem for 2 days.
Sweetheart.
I think you prefer to dance with these young people. They drove me here. This is Fabio, the pianist.
How do you do?
This is Carlo. This is Fabrizio.
How do you do? Come on, Fabrizio, you dance with me. Oh, Chazzy, thank you so much.
I think it's better for you to dance with them.
Well, you don't have to twist my arm. Come on, Fabrizio.
She dances with handsome Fabrizio.
Suona, maestro, suona. Ah, that's my girl. Now he has a dance. Could dance the feet of you boys.
Ne balla benissimo.
Bellissimo. I know that one's good, but what is it? What am I doing good?
You dance very well.
Thank you. Yes, of course I do.
You should have seen her on Broadway. Elsa Paris, Ziegfeld star, 3 years running until she threw it up for Mr. Morgenthau. He wanted a private performance.
And boy, has he been paying for it ever since.
Oh, Georgie.
Georgie dances cheek to cheek with a woman.
Bernard, we need some more champagne.
Elsa takes a cigarette from Connie.
You're not going to need that, Connie.
When laughing friends deride, tears I cannot hide. Just smile and say, when a lovely flame dies.
She blows smoke at Fabrizio.
Smoke gets in your eyes.
Fabrizio steps up to her.
Are all American women as exciting as you?
Alas, no.
Georgie races up and down the sidelines of a dusty football pitch and shouts directions at Luca, who's heading down the field towards the opposition's goal. Georgie's jubilant. The opposition's furious. Lady Hester's in an elegant restaurant.
It's Mussolini's finest achievement. Discipline, order, safety in the streets.
And invaded Abyssinia.
Oh, why shouldn't Mussolini have an empire? All the best people in Europe have empires.
May I quote you?
Yes, you may. Tell them in England the truth about Mussolini. Such a vibrant man, a Roman emperor.
Ah, signora Morgan, welcome back. It is so lovely to see you again. Buonasera, signora.
Jaws drop as Elsa glides in wearing a grey fur stole. A man stands awestruck. His wife reaches to him.
What do you think of our new Augustus of Italy?
Musso? Mm. Ooh, I think his butt's too big to push around the dance floor.
Connie takes notes.
Oh, dreadful.
You look radiant.
Why, Hester, I didn't see you there. Luciano!
È tornata a Firenze.
Yeah, how wonderful. Elsa, my dear. Elsa, what?
A peevish Lady Hester watches Elsa move through the dining room.
I'm throwing this little shindig tonight to say goodbye and thank you. Because alas, I have to love you and leave you.
You have to be terribly brave about that.
Oh, Paola, thank you so much, but just for a little while. Because tomorrow, Chazzy and I are going to Paris, where I've got the chance to buy a certain Picasso and get my skinflint husband to pay for it.
Lady Hester's not amused.
But tonight, I want everybody to have a wonderful time and drink up because the champagne's on me.
Georgie stands on a chair.
Oh, she's a jolly good fellow.
Oh, my goodness, the donors should come to this. It's too much. It's too much.
What did she say she wanted to lay her hands on?
A Picasso.
Who's he?
He's a picture, dear.
Arabella and the other members of the Scorpioni don't join in the celebrations. Elsa whispers to a drably dressed woman and points towards Lady Hester. Towards them.
I'm Julia Mayer, a friend of Mrs. Morgenthau.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Sit down, please.
Thank you.
Elsa wants you and your friends to join us in the celebration.
Oh,
very kind.
Oh, do thank her.
A waiter pours champagne.
I bathe in the stuff to celebrate her departure.
Georgie pushes through a crowd admiring a statue in the Uffizi.
You like this? This is okay. It's a good copy, a Roman copy, but this,
Come, I want you to see this. Ah, this Hellenistic, authentic 150 BC, Venere Amore, Venus and Eros.
A group of artists paint Botticelli's Primavera. Lucas sits on an ottoman beside Arabella's dog and sketches. Arabella steps up beside him holding a cup of tea. She glances at his drawing.
That's very good, Luca. For seven, that's excellent. It's much better than a lot of amateur artists. Where did you learn to do that? We'll start again from the middle of the balcony scene. Juliet is on the balcony, and Romeo is down below. Let's put the light back on the stage.
Luca watches Mary maneuver a light behind a miniature stage on her living room table. She sits, and each of them controls a tiny figure. Luca is Romeo to Mary's Juliet.
Lady, by on the blessed moon I swear that tips of splendor all these fruit tree tops.
Oh, swear not by the moon, the inconstant moon that monthly changes in her circled orbit, lest that of thy love prove likewise variable.
What does that mean?
Variable? Changeable? Changing, things that don't always stay the same.
I see. Vario.
Yes. Vario. And Juliet knows that true love is not vario. It lasts forever. It's the most important thing in life. Now it's Romeo's turn.
What shall I swear by?
Do not swear at all. Or, if thou wilt, swear by thy gracious self, which is the god of my idolatry, and I'll believe thee. Now, he comes up to the balcony.
Luca moves his figure, Mary's figure off.
Yes. Now, let's go back to the beginning again.
They both look up and listen. Outside on the street, a crowd of black shirts run riot, overturning tables and smashing windows. They break the windows of the elegant Donnay's Cafe, where the members of the Scorpioni have gathered. Connie looks aghast. The black shirts wave their batons through the smashed window. Inside, Lady Hester maintains her seat. An elderly man with a bleeding brow is led to a sofa and lowered onto it. Wilfred goes to help.
Wilfred, come and sit down.
This man is hurt.
Come and sit down.
The world's gone mad.
Damn fascists! Shame on you! Shame on you!
This isn't the fascists. This is the anarchists. Mussolini has no idea what is being done here. If my husband were alive, he would go to Rome and tell him.
Perhaps I should take on the role of ex-ambassador.
I'm going to Rome myself.
The British consul shakes his head as Lady Hester rises to go.
Wilfred?
She swans out, followed by Wilfred. Connie goes to the consul.
She's serious about seeing Mussolini.
There's no doubt she'll try. Happily, she won't succeed.
But I might be able to swing it. Journalist on an important British paper.
Please, Miss Rayner, leave diplomacy to the diplomats.
Connie pays no heed to his advice, and with a little smile, she sweeps out. In Rome, Mussolini's assistant comes up to him. One of them is Random's widow, Sir Hector Random, British ambassador 1926 to 29, as you may recall. And there's a journalist from the Morning Post. It may be something to do with the demonstrations in Florence. We must admit it's been a very dangerous mistake. We need to reassure them. They're important people, with connections in England, I'm told. Mussolini nods and gestures for them to join him. Gualtieri, bring them in. Lady Hester, Wilfred and Connie are led down a long white marble corridor.
Connie, don't forget we've come to Rome to take part in a moment of history.
Mussolini's assistant greets them.
I remember your husband very well. Oh. A true gentleman.
Oh, indeed.
They walk towards a pillared hall, at one end of which stands Il Duce behind a large desk. He steps round to greet them.
Lady Hester Random.
Mussolini takes her hand and kisses it.
Please.
Her grandson, Wilfred Random.
They shake hands.
Sit down.
And Miss Constance Rayner of the Morning Post.
Welcome.
Please.
Connie smiles graciously and takes a seat.
Dear ladies and gentlemen, Count Grandi tells me you have some fears about your position here in Italy.
To speak truth, we have been a little nervous.
Have no fears. Have no fears.
I always knew we could rely on you. Our long personal relationship. Since that night with my late husband at La Scala, Milan.
You don't mind if I take notes?
You are here for that reason, are you not?
Throughout our glorious history, we have received your poets. I have particular regard for Lord Byron. The great Lord Byron. So many of you came here that at one time, the Italian word for foreigner was inglese. As I was saying, you have nothing to fear. Whatever happens, you will be always under my personal protection.
Lady Hester gazes up at him starry-eyed.
You have my word.
Tea and refreshments are wheeled in on a trolley.
Oh, look.
Two uniformed servants look to Mussolini's assistant, who gestures, go ahead, tentatively reaches towards a cup and saucer. Lady Hester springs to her feet, and removing her gloves, she steps up to the trolley. Mussolini doesn't respond. Back in Florence, the ladies of the Scorpioni flutter into the Botticelli room in the Uffizi, waving a newspaper, and perch on the ottoman. Arabella gathers round. A photo and headline, Tea with Mussolini.
Look in the paper!
Good heavens! It's Lady Hester and himself, they did it! They had tea with Mussolini!
A group of black shirts enter the Uffizi. Pushing a man aside, they pause outside the Botticelli room, then march in. The ladies look up.
No food or drink allowed in the Uffizi anymore.
We always make tea here.
There is a change of policy. Go and drink your tea in one of your colonies. This is a free and civilized country. Avanti, ripulite! Ripulite tutto il
tuo. The black shirts grab up the tea trays and march out of the room with them to the corridor. Striding across the gleaming, checkered black and white floor, they fling the china tea sets out of the museum windows. Then the soldiers gather up the ladies' canvases, their easels, their paint boxes, and smirking, toss them out through the windows. The ladies fluster round them helplessly.
No, no, not that one,
a canvas copy of the Primavera drifts to the ground like a piece of paper. A black shirt carries Arabella's dog to an open window. George jumps on him and he drops the dog. Luca takes the dog's lead. Luca leads the dog through the gathered crowd while two black shirts tackle Georgie. Arabella follows him.
Let me kill him!
Wait for me, Luca!
I've seen what is happening here. You're afraid to have an Englishwoman working for you in case the fascists break up your shop.
Bonnery shifts uncomfortably.
I quite understand. I won't be coming back.
I'm sorry.
Mary pulls a piece of paper through the typewriter.
It is not just the letters. It's a boy.
Luca? He's doing very well at school. His English is first class. It's
English
just
is no longer the language of tomorrow. Luca must learn German. I'll send him to school in Austria.
Austria?
Our future is with Germany.
Mary looks at him in disbelief. Then manages to nod. She picks up her things and heads out.
I'm afraid, Miss Wallace, the era of England, it's finished.
He drops a swatch pad of tartan fabrics.
I wouldn't be too sure about that.
Mary and Arabella walk Luca to his train.
Now, set the teeth and stretch the nostrils wide.
Hold hard the breath and bend up every spirit to his full height.
On, you noblest Luca.
Who say that?
Shakespeare's King Henry, remember? Before the battle.
He didn't say Luca.
No, he didn't. You're quite right, he said English. But he was talking about people who were brave, like you.
Buonasera.
È molto tardi. Molto tardi.
Oh, Luca. Sì. Yes.
Luca steps onto the train.
Austria is so beautiful. Snowy mountains, blue skies. I wish I could come with you.
He gives her a kiss.
No, we're not supposed to do that.
She shakes his hand and he hugs her.
Bye, Luca.
Arabella.
Look, I bought you some flowers. Say goodbye to Nicky.
She kisses Luca's cheek and two other ladies push forward.
Your favorite biscuits. Take care.
In carrozza, in carrozza.
A guard ushers Luca on board.
Coraggio, Luca. Grazie.
Coraggio.
And gentlemen in England now abed shall think themselves accursed they were not here, and hold their mantles cheap while they speak. Let's forth with us upon St. Crispin's Day.
As the train pulls away, the ladies follow it along the platform waving. It's November 1935. Il Duce paces up and down a polished columned corridor. Outside on the streets, crowds wave and cheer as black-shirted boys and uniformed girls march together, holding banners. Mussolini's black shirts stamp on the ground in unison, marching to the crowd's cries of Il Duce, Il Duce. 1938. The portly, pugnacious Mussolini examines a lineup of soldiers. 1939. A man climbs a ladder to reach a Union Jack flag which is tossed to the ground, drenched with petrol, and set alight to the delight of the crowd. 1940. At Lady Hester's villa, Florence.
Ladies, please. Ladies, please. If I have told you once, I have told you 100 times. You have got to go back to England. It's becoming dangerous here.
It's much more dangerous in England. They're at war.
Why should we change our lives simply because some idiots want to make war?
The war can't last more than 2 weeks.
I mean, aren't the Germans in Paris? It's all over in France.
For some people, it's just beginning. The Jews, for instance. Thousands of them being rounded up and taken away.
Everybody's talking about the Jews. You don't believe every little bit of pink propaganda you read in the newspapers, do you?
You can think what you will, Lady Hester. But I must warn you that if Italy declares war, we shall have to close down the consulate.
I insist you all return to England.
No, I will not. But whatever for? Signor Mussolini is wise enough to keep Italy out of it. Besides,
well said.
I have his personal assurance that we will not be involved in any way.
That's all very well for you, ladies. What about this young man? Do you want him to become a deserter?
Wilfred looks petrified. Oh.
Wilfred will always do the right thing. Anna. Yes, some more tea cakes, please.
The consul shakes his head in despair. A gentle light infused with the palest pink settles over the spires, towers, and terracotta roofs of Florence, and the city basks in tranquility. Luca, now a young man, runs up a flight of stairs to the Pensione Schiller. A groomed grey-haired woman opens the door.
Signora Badaloni,
how are you? Don't you recognize me? The woman smiles, confused.
Sono Luca.
I'm Luca.
Oh, Luca!
See you. Come put your bags here. Who would recognize you? How time goes by. Luca follows her inside. Here everything is the same. Nothing's changed. He walks ahead, taking everything in. How many memories? Where is Mary?
Dov'è Mary?
Miss Wallace. Luca nods. We haven't seen her for ages. She had no work. She went to live with a friend. Which friend? I don't know. She left no address. Must be another English woman.
Essere da un'altra inglese, sa.
Is she still in Florence? I don't know. No one's seen her. May 1940, a train station. The English prepare to leave.
John Webster.
No. 3 cases. 3 tre valigi.
Please, are you English?
Yes.
I'm looking for someone. Mary. Oh. Mary Wallace. Do you know her?
No, she's...
We must get a move on. I can see with him. He's getting everyone on board.
Is she with her group?
No, she's one of the diehards. She's up at Lady Hester's place, refusing to budge. Sorry.
The couple depart. Luca looks up to see a man with round-rimmed glasses and a fedora staring. Luca turns and walks away. Glamorous and statuesque, Elsa sashays through the station.
Paul William!
She spots the British consul.
Christopher and Paula!
With them!
He stands by a train.
What's going on here? The English get bored with Florence, now they're all heading back for the excitement of Bournemouth?
It's the war.
Italy's not in the war.
Not yet. Il Duce is waiting back the winner.
Signore, documenti, per favore.
I'm not leaving, I'm just arriving.
La prego, I documenti.
I'm American.
Americana, mi scusi.
And what about Lady Hester and the others?
No, they refuse to budge. They still think Mussolini's going to look after them.
Thank God. What would Florence be without the Scorpioni?
Let's hope the Florentines think the same.
It was lovely to see you.
Goodbye.
Georgie and Cesare arrive.
Elsa!
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 Elsa and Georgie hug. Luca hears the commotion, turns and sees them. He steps forward, breathless with relief.
Here!
Le ho detto che la signora americana, scusi.
Elsa Strauss Almerson.
Americana, va bene.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. And what happened to the last one? He kicked the bucket. And who is Strauss Almerson? He is a lovely elderly gentleman. Why doesn't that surprise me? No, really. He's an absolute angel. Or he soon will be.
Luca runs up behind them.
I'm Luca. Luca Innocenti.
Luca! My God, every time I see you, you're taller and more grown up. You're so handsome, too.
I don't think so.
Oh, come on now. When a girl tells you that, you've got to listen. Otherwise, you're going to mess out on a whole bunch of fun.
Better let me fill you in on the girls. What have you been up to, Luca? It's been so long.
I was sent away to school in Austria, but I couldn't bear it any longer, so I've come home to Florence, to the School of Art. It's what I've always wanted to do.
I thought your father always wanted you to be the perfect English gentleman.
He changed his mind and tried to make me the perfect German businessman.
But it didn't take.
But it doesn't matter. I'm independent now, and I owe it all to you, Signora.
To me?
The money, Elsa. The trust.
Oh, the trust. But Luca, that was your mother's money. Now, I'm going to be here for a very long time, and I want you to come up and tell me all about yourself, okay?
Elsa.
Promesso?
Promesso.
Elsa, darling, it's not the moment.
Chelsea,
shall we go,
all right.
Please?
All right, Luca, I have to go, but I love you.
They usher Elsa away.
Why are you hurrying me so much?
I tell you later. Oh, this is Vittorio Fanfani. He is a good lawyer and a good friend. You know lawyers. Better to be friends with them.
Chezzy, where's my car?
It's too big and flashy. I thought it would be better to be discreet.
Cesare, I had no idea that driving around in my car was indiscreet.
Oh, Elsa.
Well, of course, how would I know? Because I'm just a rich, vulgar American.
Elsa, my angel, let's talk about something pleasant. I have managed to get the Picasso for you. Are you happy?
So happy, Chezzy. Oh, what a great coming home present.
It's a very beautiful painting.
To Vittorio.
You know something about modern art?
Yes. I like it very much. Especially the Italian. Marinetti, Balla, the Chirico.
He drives.
Beauty and brains. So, you're a chauffeur who's a lawyer and an art expert and speaks English. Chezzy, things have changed. So, how is it that you speak such perfect English?
My father. I spent some time with him in America when he was working there. Wonderful country.
Would you like to go back?
This war doesn't spoil everything.
Exactly, Elsa.
Would someone correct me if I'm wrong? Am I living on a completely different planet? As far as I know, the United States isn't at war with anybody.
Not yet, anyway.
Mr. I'd...
Fanfani. Vittorio.
Vittorio, I was thinking that since you're such a lover of modern art, that it would be nice if you could come up and help me when I hang my paintings.
I like that very much. Cesare showed me some of your art. That balla you have is my favorite.
I know, it's mine too.
Really?
Yes.
This conversation is making me a little carsick.
In the back seat, a disgruntled Georgie lies back. Mussolini in black uniform stands in front of a huge bust of himself, surrounded by high-ranking officials. Observed by all, he signs a document and hands it to one of his officers. Soldiers of land, sea and air, black shirts of the revolution, War has been declared against Britain and France. At Lady Hester's villa, Italian guards oversee the English while they pack. Come on, lady, hurry up.
Si, si, capito.
Yes, yes, I understand. Mary finds Lady Hester.
Are you ready, Hester? We have to go. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I holding up the war? Are we under arrest?
He says we're just being taken into custody.
Oh, really? It will be nice to know that when we're locked up, we won't be under arrest, just taken into custody. And what will Il Duce do?
Il Duce?
Yeah, Il Duce, what will he do when he hears that you've arrested me? Mm? You see, I am Lady Hester Random. My late husband was His Britannic Majesty's ambassador. I have diplomatic immunity. Anna, more coffee, please. This is cold. Anna?
Young and attractive Anna carries two suitcases to a bus. A young man runs up to her. Anna, you can't go with them. Lady Hester took me in when nobody wanted me. I can't leave her now. Listen to me, Anna. Stop it. Let go of me. Anna breaks away from him. Georgie arrives on her bicycle and marches in.
Noi abbiamo gli ordini di arrestare tutte le straniere nemiche.
What did he say? That we're enemy aliens.
But we are not enemies. We're not aliens either. We chose Florence from the whole world. I mean, Florence should be honored.
Ah, brava. Brava, Hester. For once, I agree with you.
Hello. Let's go, madam.
Andiamo che non abbiamo tempo da perdere.
Don't you dare touch her. I'm doing my job. She's a very important lady. Georgie gestures to Nehem in the groin. Mary takes Lady Hester's arm.
We'd better go, Hester.
Better go?
I'm sure Mussolini will release you quite soon.
Lady Hester sniffles and picks up her handbag.
Better go.
She follows Mary into another room.
At least you can take your maid to look after you.
Mary stops in her tracks.
And your niece to accompany you.
Wilfred stands before them, bedecked in wig, bonnet and women's clothes.
Georgie, will you take Lucy to the bus?
Oh, certainly, Lucy, my dear.
Georgie takes the mawkish Wilfred by the arm.
Oh, you're lovely. You're traveling from. Oh, I'm very worried for you with all these Italian studs roaming around.
She bustles Wilfred past a line of guards towards the bus. He trips up.
Uh-oh, come on. Up you go. You're going to miss your trousers. I never leave home without mine, though. I must say, skirts aren't all bad under the right situation.
She pats his bottom as he eyes her indignantly. Anna, Lady Hester, and Mary step out of the villa.
Hester, come on, chin up.
Oh, that's typically American. Keep out of trouble and tell other people to keep their chins up.
Come on, you never know. I may be joining you sooner than you think.
Is that supposed to make me feel better?
Lady Hester steps towards the bus. Mary smiles at Georgie. Lucas cycles up on a bicycle as Anna helps the ladies to pile into the bus. Her young man runs up. He pulls her off the bus, hurling Mary into Lucas' arms.
I'm sorry.
It's Mary. It's me, Luca.
Luca. It is you. Oh, my goodness, I can't believe
it. I heard what they were doing to you.
He glances at the guards disdainfully.
Avanti, forza, su signore, sull'auto. Signore, andiamo su, forza.
Hello and goodbye, all in the same breath.
A guard pushes Luca aside.
I'll let you know we're going, if I can.
Forza, su signore.
A truck arrives with Arabella.
You waited. We came as quickly as we could. Aiutami, per favore.
An elderly woman is lifted off the back of the truck in her wheelchair. Arabella hands her easel to a guard.
I can't go without my paint.
Arabella carries Nicky towards the bus.
Come on, Nicky.
As she climbs in.
No! No, you!
Mary calls out through a window.
Luca! Take the dog, please!
Luca picks Nicky up.
Of course I will. We were puppies together.
Mary smiles and waves at him as the grey bus trundles away, carrying the English ladies in it. Arabella, with her long grey hair hanging loosely about her face, leans out of a window weeping. Tears well in the weather-beaten and resilient Georgie's eyes as she watches them depart. A motorcycle with sidecar speeds along a dusty road. Its driver in loose sports jacket with Biggles cap and goggles is the young, dark-haired companion of Anna's. Luca sits in the sidecar holding Nikki. Some way ahead, the grey bus with several trunks and suitcases piled onto its roof rack winds its way up through the hilly Tuscan countryside. It's late summer, and the grasses are sun-bleached yellow. Tall cypress trees stretch towards the sky, and the silvery grey leaves of the olive groves glint in the bright sunlight. The motorbike and sidecar have caught up with the bus and follow it closely, enveloped in a hazy veil of dust. The bus lumbers onwards. The motorbike begins to stutter. Its driver tries to rev the throttle, but the bike staggers to a halt. Damn it, this motorcycle. Who's going to tell my dad? While he checks the bike, Luca hops out of the sidecar. Behind some olive trees, the medieval towers of San Gimignano rise in the distance. So that's where they're taking them. San Gimignano, the town of 100 towers. He turns around to Anna's boyfriend and asks him, "Been there? There are wonderful frescoes by Ghirlandaio." Anna's boyfriend shakes his head. Beautiful. Great comfort for those wretched ladies. As the sun sets over the pretty lush hills, the bus drives into the Piazza del Duomo in San Gimignano, flanked by ancient stone arches and the plain facade of the church. Come on, ladies, follow me. 18 prisoners. Come on, ladies, this isn't the Grand Hotel. Two guards lead the ladies into a large, dreary room. Lady Hester steps in furtively and peers into the darkness. Lights are switched on.
This can't be right. This is a barracks.
It looks like an old school.
Oh, Mary. Well, there must be a mistake.
Mary looks around. Connie Rayner steps forward.
Seems there's only one lavatory.
We can't be expected to sleep together. Are we to have no privacy?
Now, if we have to be here, we may as well make the best of it. So, why don't you all choose a bed and take your cases and we'll rig up some screens?
The ladies set to selecting camp beds. Lady Hester commandeers a screen and tugs it around herself and Wilfred. Three guards step into their room, now partitioned with hanging sheets. One guard pulls a sheet back to reveal some of the ladies in nightcaps and gowns. The ladies scuttle for cover. Get in line, ladies. Let's do the roll call.
You are
extremely rude, young men. No gentleman would ever dream of entering a lady's room without first knocking. Now go outside. Count to 10 and then knock. When you hear me say, come in, you may enter.
Che sta dicendo? Che Sina capisce proprio.
Mary, translate that for me, please.
Va fuori, batte alla porta e aspetta fino che secco, come in.
Ma andiamo, ma facciamo...
Now, outside, please. And it is customary, when leaving a lady's room, to say goodnight.
The guards retreat.
Did you hear what I said? Good night.
To one another.
Oh, Mary, let's teach them a little basic English. Good night. Now, come on. It's not difficult. Good night.
Good night.
Ladies. Now, come on. Good night, ladies. Now, go.
Good night, ladies. English.
The guards leave. That night, Nikki pokes her head between the lines of regulation sheets draped over string, dividing the barracks. He pricks his ears, then with his tail up, he trots up to a bunk bed and hops onto the lower bunk and Arabella.
Nikki, she's come all this way. Oh, you brilliant dog.
Mary, sitting on the edge of her bed, overhears and stands up. Filled with anticipation, she picks up her dressing gown and puts it on.
You brilliant dog.
Mary steps outside and walks forward under the cover of some trees. She stops when she sees Luca lying on his back on a bench, dozing.
Luca!
Luca stands up and peers at her. Mary walks towards him, holding out her hands.
I thought you'd be here. Come on, let's sit down for a moment. Do you know, I was so worried after you went away. I never knew what happened to you.
I did write to you from that Nazi school. I promise you I did. Perhaps they didn't post my letters.
Oh, I'm sure they didn't.
The English are the enemy, they said. Over and over again. But you're not the enemy, Mary.
I'm afraid in Italy now, I am the enemy, Luca. So you must be very careful. It could be quite dangerous for you to come here often.
But I can help you.
What?
There's the trust. The money Elsa gave me.
Oh, Luca.
I can give it to you.
I don't want you to do that. That is your future. But thank you. It's nice to know that someone is looking after us.
Back in Florence, Elsa's hosting an extravagant garden party. She gives orders to a group of white-coated waiters lined up behind a table laden with glasses. Vittorio, handsome and smooth with a slick moustache, smokes and watches her from a distance. Cesare joins him. Crazy. She's completely crazy. What have you done to her? Elsa is in love.
Elsa è innamorata.
Unbelievable.
You should get her to buy my Modigliani. It is a bargain. Everyone is selling up nowadays.
Have you seen how many pictures and sculptures she's bought already? I'm trying to calm her down, Sam. Put some more there into her life. Don't even show it to her.
A pity. I should just have to take it back to New York with me.
Oh, thank you. You're leaving?
I certainly am. I have sold the gallery. I'm joining the general stampede, I'm afraid. Europe just isn't home anymore.
My dear Sam, why ever not?
Accident of birth, I suppose. It is never a good time to be a Jew. Vittorio is right. Elsa must stop this folly. Send the collection to Switzerland. Get out fast.
Vittorio takes a mouthful of champagne and stares across the garden at Elsa. Ordinary Italians gather round a poster stuck to a billboard. It reads, "Mandatory registration of Jews." The people huddle in groups, shake their heads and talk to one another in hushed voices. One young woman stares at the poster in frightened silence. Luca is led into a very modern room in Elsa's extravagant villa. Its walls are hung with paintings.
All right, come on, don't open your eyes. We're almost there. Don't open your eyes. You can open your eyes. Isn't it unbelievable, isn't it? Isn't this fabulous?
Luca spins round.
You should have seen this house before I fixed it. Isn't this amazing?
Struck.
This is Picasso. It's one of his most famous paintings. It's called Demoiselle d'Avignon. I almost lost this painting once. But, you know, I really want something. I don't give up till I get it.
The key. Luca steps closer, unable to speak.
Frightens the hell out of you, doesn't it?
Yes.
Luca, can you do me a little favor?
A favor? Of course.
Now, you gotta be responsible. I have to be able to trust you.
I'll be responsible.
Oh. This is my favorite, Bala. Another great Italian. An explosion of color and light. Makes you feel. Makes you think.
È fantastico. And I spend my time learning how to draw the past.
Oh, no. You have to study the classics. It's essential that you know the basics before you go off and experiment.
Like Picasso.
Exactly. I can trust you. Come on.
She pulls him after her.
Come on.
He follows her into a dark Art Deco bathroom.
Close the door. And take off your shirt.
Bewildered, he closes the door and slowly starts to unbutton his shirt.
Come on, Luca, unbutton your shirt. I don't have all day.
She holds a package the size of a small envelope.
Here.
She pulls up his grey holy vest.
Does anybody take care of your clothes?
I live alone.
Luca, I need you to deliver this package for me tonight. These are very important documents. It's imperative that no one find out about it. So
she tapes it to his body and holds a piece of paper.
This is the address. Memorize it and then burn it.
All right.
Maybe with your baby face, no one will suspect. Meet me tomorrow at Donay's at 12.
She hugs him, then goes. Luca tucks his vest back into his trousers and looks at his reflection in a mirror. That night, under cover of darkness, Luca quickly pedals his bicycle through the narrow, deserted streets of Florence. Cycling over a paved road, a car drives towards him and pulls up alongside.
Hey, you.
Haven't you heard the siren?
Che ci fai in giro?
I'm looking for shelter, but can't find it. Show us your papers. Luca rests his bicycle against a wall and runs to the car to hand. The guards take them and study them, then look at Luca, who manages a grin. One guard looks at the other. It's okay. Go home to your mum. Run. The guard hands Luca his papers and the boy quickly hops on his bicycle as the guards drive off. Luca turns down into a dark alley and emerges at the other side. He stops and gets off his bike. Then, looking about him furtively, he leans it against a wall, then knocks on a wooden door. The door opens a crack and a frightened young woman peeps out. Luca rips the package from his body and hands it to her. She takes it. Her face breaks into a smile and she turns to someone behind her. The passports. She looks in gratitude at Luca, who takes a step back. Then she closes the door.
You cannot believe the good you've done. This is going to make so many people happy.
At Delaney's.
Have you ever had champagne before?
No.
Okay. To the old Scorpione and San Gimignano.
Yes.
And let's see if we can cheer them up, but it's got to be our secret.
They clink glasses and sip champagne. Luca nods.
Now, after your next mission, what would you think about dinner at the villa? I think I can rustle up a chicken. We can talk about painting. Thursday night, 9 o'clock.
Luca coughs on a cigarette.
I think I might be free.
Oh, you think you might be free? Ooh, cigarettes, champagne. I think I might be free. Are we a man now?
Possibly.
And such a handsome man.
Luca beams. Luca pedals furiously through the countryside. Ahead of him, rising from a hilltop and basking in sunlight, is San Gimignano. Luca, with his grey trousers tucked into checked socks, dismounts his bike outside a Fotografo shop and leans it against a wall. He glances round him, then steps into a small hotel. He hands a small package to the manager and whispers. From Il Duce. Who?
Il Duce.
It's top secret, not a word to anyone, least of all. Luca glances behind him, then continues. The police. Just call the bank. You understand? I understand. Call the bank. The manager holds up the package. Strange. Luca watches the manager make the call.
Monte dei Paschi di Siena. Signor Trivulzio.
Arabella.
Can you believe it? We're going to be moved to a hotel.
The hotel manager claps his hands and his staff spill out onto the street as the ladies, led by Lady Hester, make their way towards it.
Well, of course. Il Duce must have found out some stupid underling made a mistake.
Amazing. You think Musso would have other things on his mind.
Connie looks at Mary.
Like the war, for instance.
The ladies flutter into the hotel.
Once upon a time, this hotel had a very high standard of service. I stayed here with my late husband, the ambassador.
My dear Lady Hester.
A man approaches her.
Count Piero Bernardini. A million apologies for not coming to pay my respects earlier, but
I had the honor of knowing your husband.
Oh, really? I don't remember him ever having mentioned your name.
Yes,
no, excuse me. Do you know the manager here?
Minotti. Coraccio, Lady Hester.
Lady Hester wipes up a finger of dust.
You'll be having a good spring clean, I hope.
She rises.
Thank you. We'll see you.
Thank you.
Mr. Minotti, we take afternoon tea at 4 o'clock.
When
I say 4 o'clock, I mean 4 o'clock.
Come on, ladies.
Not a quarter past, 4 o'clock. I wonder, would you please put this in a prominent position?
Oh, indeed.
The framed photograph of Lady Hester having tea with Mussolini is duly hung in a prominent position. The Scorpioni sit out to tea on a balcony of the hotel with a spectacular view of the surrounding countryside. Connie takes photographs. Lady Hester poses, holds her chin up, and smiles graciously. Arabella stares out over the balcony, lost in her own thoughts. In Florence, Vittorio and Elsa lie in bed together.
The story of the ladies.
Elsa sits up.
I don't understand you sometimes. What makes you do it? It's going to cost you a fortune.
It's the way I am. Sometimes I do crazy things.
But they hate you. They've always been mean to you.
I know, but they're old, amore. And I don't know. I respect them. And who's going to take care of them? Mussolini?
I respect them.
You know, I don't want to talk about this.
Fine. Fine. Everything is easy for you. Obviously, it's pointless trying to have a serious conversation with you. But it's going to be very difficult for me to get out of here. False documents, bribing people.
I can take care of it.
No, Carla, I will take care of myself. Still, it might very well be that I won't be able to go with
you. She rests her head against his chest.
If you can't go, then I won't go.
He looks down at her.
Does that make you feel better, baby?
You are impossible, Elsa. Yes, it will make me very happy, but it doesn't solve our problems.
Oh, you Italians, you're so dramatic. Problems, problems.
She stands up.
My biggest problem is, what am I going to wear tonight?
That night, Luca arrives at Elsa's columned villa on his bicycle, smartly suited and holding a bouquet of flowers. He knocks on the door. A po-faced servant opens the door.
Signora Elsa.
Mrs. Strauss-Elmerson is not at home.
Not at home? But she invited me to dinner.
The servant eyes him blankly.
Come to dinner at the villa, she said, on Thursday. Today is Thursday, isn't it?
As I said, Mrs. Strauss-Elmerson is not at home. Would you care to leave a message?
Give her these.
He hands the servant the bouquet of flowers and turns to go. The door is closed. Luca listens.
What?
Black ones or white ones?
Whatever you want. As long as you don't wear too many jewels as usual.
While Elsa brushes her hair in the bathroom, Vittorio dons a silk dressing gown. Outside, Luca jumps on his bike. San Gimignano. No animals in the Duomo. No dogs.
Proibito cani.
Nonsense. Can't proibito dogs. They've got souls just like us. Which pope was it that said the dogs have souls too? You ought to know. You work in a cathedral. You know nothing about dog souls.
I said no dogs in the Duomo. Do you understand?
Oh, never mind. The light's fading anyway. But we'll be back tomorrow. Won't we, Nicky?
I'm Benny.
You may come any time you like, but leave the dog outside. Arabella gathers her things.
What kind of a Christian are you? You go on about one of God's creatures, and all the time you let these wonderful frescoes fall to pieces. Shame on you.
Mary wanders through a small market and stops at a stall.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno.
Come sta?
Bene, grazie.
Quanto costa?
5 lire.
4 potatoes.
5 lire.
Mary catches sight of Luca peering out from behind a wall.
Ah, no grazie.
She looks greedily under an arch towards Luca. He stands by his bicycle and holds out a package to her.
These are the documents Lady Hester asked me to fetch from her villa.
Thank you. Have you seen anything of Elsa?
Luca looks away.
How should I know? I'm only the messenger boy.
Luca, what's the matter?
It's just I don't want to be her messenger boy any longer. That's all.
Luca, wait.
She hurries down an alleyway after him.
What on earth has happened? She's always been so good to you.
Oh, she's a rich lady. She can afford to be good to everybody, including all of you.
What are you talking about?
Who do you think is paying your hotel bills? Mussolini?
What do you mean?
It's Elsa.
Elsa?
Yes, Elsa.
Well, how very generous of her.
Anyway, she has someone else. He can be her postman now.
He mounts his bicycle and cycles away. Mary watches him go.
The green-eyed monster. Elsa.
The English ladies line up for roll call at the dingy barracks. Once they've signed their names in the guard's logbook, they step to the side. The guard at the desk lights up a cigarette. Mary signs her name, followed by Connie, who smiles at the guard flirtatiously and strokes his nose with a pencil as he grins and exhales a plume of smoke at her. She giggles. She's pushed on. The guards flirt with the youthful Wilfred, Comey is Lucy.
You marry me? Io italiano.
A scowling Lady Hester follows and signs her name. Attention, please. We interrupt our broadcast for a special communique. Reuters has reported that at dawn this morning, the Japanese Air Force attacked the U.S. naval base at Pearl Harbor. The ladies and guards gather together listening.
L'impero giapponese hanno effettuato incursioni massicce sulla base americana di Pearl Harbor. Un numero ancora imprecisato di navi da guerra sono state colpite e affondate con ingenti perdite di vite umane. Il presidente Roosevelt ha annunciato l'entrata in guerra degli Stati Uniti d'America.
The Americans are in the war!
7th of December 1941. The guards. America's our enemy, but my sister's in Brooklyn. The ladies gleefully hug one. Hester sits beside her grandson Wilfred, who looks at her and grins from under his veiled bonnet. The wheelchair-bound lady gazes up with tear-filled eyes. Georgie joins the Scorpioni.
Georgie, ladies, you'll never believe how much I've missed you.
Georgie!
Elsa steps in tentatively behind her. She stands at the door to the dining room and looks round at the English ladies. Wilfred stands to greet her, but Lady Hester pulls him down.
Oh, I wish this hadn't happened to you. I'm so sorry.
Oh, honey, don't be. Now we can all be enemy aliens together.
We'll make it a party.
I'm afraid this isn't going to be a party. I am sorry you've been separated from your dance partners, Mrs. Strauss-Armanson. Now you're about to find out what it's like to be at war.
Well, this isn't exactly the trenches, is it, Hester?
Thanks to the generosity of Il Duce, we are being treated with dignity. Whether he wishes to extend his generosity to American citizens is quite another matter.
Looking at Elsa.
Come on, gals, we don't need to fight. We've got to live together. That means behaving like gentlemen, right, Lucy?
Early morning, before the sun has risen and warmed the cool, green Tuscan countryside, Wilfred strolls restlessly on the balcony of the little hotel. He wears a dressing gown and has discarded the accoutrements of Lucy. Mary steps out to join him tightly around her.
I can't take this much longer. I'm 22. Nobody seems to remember that. She thinks I'm still a child.
She's doing it to save your life.
He looks at her.
How much longer do I have to stay here, wasting my life like a fool?
It was the only thing she could think of to do. People will do anything for someone they love.
Making me live like this. You call that love?
Yes. Yes, it is love. Whatever it may seem to you, it is love.
He sits down.
I lost the two men I loved the most in a war. But I wasn't given a choice. If I were in Hester's place, I might do the same as she.
At Elsa's villa, Cesare addresses the butler.
Whatever you want.
Please don't waste my time. Something to keep her warm. You've always taken care of everything. Now go. The butler goes. They didn't give her a chance to pack anything. Bastards. He turns to Vittorio. But she found the time to write you a letter. Vittorio takes it and rips it open. The Swiss consul is coming this afternoon with some experts.
Insieme a qualche esperto.
They're in for a real surprise, like that fake Picasso. However fake or real, you know, they belong to a foreign company. He looks up at Cesare. Elsa doesn't own a thing, officially. Not even the... Nothing.
Nulla.
What company? She never mentioned anything. She always signed everything personally. Come on, Cesare. Elsa is crazy, but she was wise enough to protect herself against any eventuality. And you advised her on protecting herself against any eventuality. My office did, Cesare.
Bravo.
At the hotel.
Elsa! Elsa!
Elsa ignores them.
We've been invited to a party on New Year's Eve. And you've been invited too.
At Count Bernardini's palazzo.
Elsa, darling, you wouldn't have a pair of stockings, would you?
I don't know, Con.
You haven't opened your luggage yet. Can we look? Can we look?
Yes, yes, go ahead. Oh,
you're a darling.
Elsa continues reading while the others rifle through her clothes.
Oh, Elsa, Elsa, please may I have this?
Yes, Hazel, it's you. You keep it.
Thank you. Oh, do you think it suits me?
A jacket.
Oh. Yes, Molly.
Connie flings it for a stole.
Oh, my God.
Does my butler think that I'm wintering in Monte Carlo, for God's sake?
Silk stockings!
The ladies gather round, mouths agape.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Oh, you feel them. Wonderful.
At Count Bernardini's palazzo, the Scorpioni are attired in items from Elsa's fabulously glitzy wardrobe. They dance together, swinging their hands and feet in wild abandon. Elsa, dressed modestly in black with little makeup, sits on a sofa beside Cesare. He waves to the ladies. Luca, smart in jacket and tie, offers canapes from a platter. A deliriously happy Connie takes one. Elsa's eyes follow Luca around the room, but he studiously avoids looking in her direction. He offers a canapé to Cesare.
Oh, grazie, Luca. Thank you.
Luca turns to go, avoiding Elsa.
Signor Innocente.
Luca holds out the canapés.
Good evening, signora.
Luca, stop this nonsense. You know you're going to forgive me in the end anyway. All right, so I am a dizzy dame with the memory of a fruit fly, but I love you and I would never do anything to hurt you, ever.
She links his arm and looks at the ladies dancing.
Look at them. Look how adorable they look. Do you know how happy it would make your mother to know the joy that she's brought a bunch of old, crazy English ladies? I think they look better on them than they
The ladies do. Shimmer and shake in Elsa's silver and gold clothes.
Dance with me. Come on, please dance with me.
Placing her arm around his neck, they begin to dance.
Come on now, it's not that awful.
Georgie perches herself down beside Lady Hester.
Lady Hester, ma'am. May I have the pleasure of dancing with Miss Lucy?
Georgie plucks Wilfred to his feet.
Come on, gal.
Sick. Oh, Georgie, don't. I really don't.
Georgie wraps her arms tightly around Wilfred and they shuffle clumsily onto the dance floor. They sidle up close to Elsa and Luca. Hi. Elsa smiles warmly at Georgie, who passes her on to Wilfred. Georgie dances with Luca.
You look lovely tonight, Lucy.
Thank you.
For sure. I love that dress. Actually, I love that dress. It's my favorite dress.
Okay, enough of this flirting.
Georgie returns to Wilfred.
I don't like you behaving this way when you're out with me.
Elsa whispers to Luca as she dances with him. Holding his hand, she spins away from him, then turns back flirtatiously, dipping back into his arms. A woman taps her on the shoulder. Elsa turns round. You're wanted, madam. The woman gestures to the door. Elsa looks at Luca. Radiantly, she kisses his cheek and goes. Luca beams and watches her go to the door where a guard points towards someone in the hallway. Luca frowns and walks to the door to see Elsa rush into the arms of Vittorio.
Hey, Miss Elsa, you look wonderful.
How could I not come to kiss you on New Year's Eve? Now listen,
I have some very important news.
He leads her into another room. A hurt Luca closes his eyes frustratedly.
Get ready. You're going to Switzerland.
How can I get to Switzerland?
There. A diplomatic passport. But listen carefully. We can't travel together. It's too dangerous. You go first. I'll cross the border with a Dutch passport. In a few days, we'll be together again in Zurich. All I need you to do is sign the last of the company papers. There.
She signs.
Don't be afraid.
No.
And there.
Yes.
Everything would be fine. Now I must go. I still have many details to attend to. And Mama's waiting.
You've been so slow. Would you mean to stay?
Listen, listen. Everything will be fine.
I know,
it's
but...
It's a matter of days.
I know, but how will I know? Who'll contact
Somebody
me?
Somebody will contact you. Trust me.
He kisses her cheek and holds her to him.
And remember, I am doing all of this for us, so we can be together. In America.
She nods and they kiss. 1st of January 1943, in the hotel kitchen.
But when we remind ourselves of the frightful cruelties and tyrannies with which the German armies are now afflicting almost all Europe, when we read every week of the mass executions, of Poles, Norwegians, Dutchmen, Belgians, Czechoslovakians, Frenchmen, Yugoslavs,
what?
And Greeks.
What did he say?
When we see these ancient and honored countries whose deeds and traditions Europe is the heir, when we see them writhing under this hateful and merciless alien yoke, when we see their patriots striking back with every week a fiercer and more furious desperation, when we see all that, we may feel sure that we bear the sword of justice. And we are resolved to use that sword with the utmost severity to the full and to the end.
A guard. Come on, ladies, it's late. Get a move on. The Scorpioni file into the barracks for roll call. They queue and sign their names in the registration book. Connie, Lady Hester, Mary. Then it's Wilfred's turn. Dressed as Lucy, he stares defiantly at the three guards at the desk. He takes up the pen, crosses Lucy's name out and writes, Wilfred Random, guard smiles. Wilfred turns the logbook round to face the guards and points to his name.
Wilfred!
Nice.
Removing his wig.
Lucy! I'm not Lucy!
Lucy!
I'm not Lucy! I'm Wilfred!
You are wonderful, without
your hair.
I'm a man!
I'm a man!
The guards are bewildered. Wilfred rushes out of the barracks and flings off his dress.
I'm a man! I'm a man! I'm a man!
Wilfred runs to the bushes. Come with us, we'll take you to safety. All through Florence, the locals scurry to watch German tanks and cars enter their town. An unstoppable cavalcade of troops and officers flying the Nazi flag thunders forwards. The locals stand by the side of the streets and watch as the procession enters the Piazza della Signoria, past the Palazzo Vecchio David. Luca sits with a group of other young artists in the Istituto d'Arte. He studies a bust copy of David's head and sketches its likeness. The artists look up from their easels. Some men in trench coats and trilbies have entered. They've come for a teacher. One of the artists whispers to the others. Did you know that Professor Casuto was a Jew? Where are they taking him? Wherever they take him, we'll never see him again. Luca watches as the short, bearded Professor Casuto is pushed out by one of the men. The professor pauses to glance back at his young students who cower behind the many sculptures. The men take him by the arms and lead him outside. Through the glass-paned door, a troubled Luca can see a couple of other men in trench coats and trilbies. One of them coolly smokes a cigarette and looks in. It's Vittorio. In the Collegiate in San Gimignano, the English ladies are building a barricade of sandbags in front of the frescoed interior walls of the Cappella di Santa Fina.
No, we must hurry. That's right. Put it down here.
Georgie,
wait, look. Shouldn't we have some canvas to protect?
We should. No, we have
mattresses, something like that.
No, it's fine. It's good as long as it's not touching. Don't worry.
Well, you do it. I'm much too nervous.
Get some wine and bring me some. One of the ladies pours out cups of wine. Arabella holds a cup out for some. An agitated Lady Hester gets her attention.
He's doing it now, but I still think...
Arabella, I'm terribly worried. I've heard nothing more from Wilfred.
Well, Luca gave you the message. He's safe.
Isn't it safe? With those terrorists?
He's fighting for freedom. You said that Wilfred always did the right thing. Well, you should be proud of him.
Well, I am. But he'd be safer here with me.
Oh, Hester, you can't keep him wrapped up forever. He's fine now. Think of him.
Well, haven't I been?
Well, perhaps you've been thinking more about yourself. Do you mind my saying that?
Yes, of course I do.
Arabella goes to give the wine to Georgie. Lady Hester shivers and blows into her hands.
I must take this for Georgie.
Arabella raises a cup.
Oh, I hope she's all right. Sleep well, Santa Fina, till it's safe to wake you up.
The fresco gradually disappears behind the wall of sandbags. Cesare confides in Mary.
Yes, it's true. Vittorio had so many arrested. Some I knew very well. All friends. They never returned. Il professor Cassuto, te lo ricordi, no?
Really, if he didn't really love Elsa, why didn't he have her arrested before?
Because he had other plans. He controls everything she owns. He'll take it all. That's why Elsa has to die, you understand? Yes, it's true. Oh, please, please. I love Elsa. She is a great friend. I feel responsible.
He throws his hat down and sits on a church pew.
I understood it all. Too late.
Mary goes to him and reaches out to him comfortingly.
We'll do everything we can.
He nods. Mary walks to Luca, who leans on a pillar nearby. He hangs his head.
You knew all this. You didn't tell Elsa or me.
You'd have accused me of being jealous.
Jealous? Luca, what were you thinking of? What does it matter about your hurt feelings when you know someone's life is in danger? Someone who's given so much and made everything possible for you? Oh, how could you be so childish, so ungrateful? It's time to grow up, Luca. We all have to grow up.
She walks away. Luca rests his head back against the pillar. An unshaven Wilfred watches a road through some trees in the pouring rain. Luca cycles by.
Luca
jumps off his bike and other resistance members emerge from the trees. Not easy, but it worked out with those Jews in Settigano. But we need money, not for the partisans, but many people are risking their lives. Luca removes a bag from around his neck and hands it over. Have you robbed a bank, Luca?
Hai svaligiato una banca, Luca.
Quick, they count out the money.
I say, Luca, I didn't know you were so rich.
No, I'm not. That's not my money. It was meant to help me grow up. But it doesn't seem to have worked.
Well, what's happened?
Luca stares into the distance.
Once upon a time, my father wanted me to be a perfect English gentleman. But I forgot the first rule.
He turns to Wilfred.
Love thyself last.
Shakespeare.
Who else?
Luca hops onto his bicycle and cycles away. At the hotel, Lady Hester addresses the other women.
Mary wants us to help Mrs. Strauss Amundsen escape. I don't see why we should be involved. She's got a passport, she's got papers, all provided for her by her Italian family.
It's a death warrant.
How can we be sure of that? I can't see why she can't make her own arrangements.
Because she's locked in her room, too damn scared to move.
Oh, well, then if she can't move, she'd better stay where she is.
What have you got against Elsa?
Nothing in particular.
Oh, yes, you have. She's American. And she's a Jew.
It isn't that. She's a flagrantly immoral woman.
Oh, Hester, come off it. She's not the only one. There are some people in this room who've been having it with every pair of pants in sight, civil and military.
Not yours, thank God.
Oh, I second that.
I experience life, and I owe it to my talent as a writer. As a matter of fact, I have an announcement to make. I'm writing a book. My memoirs. Letters from San Gimignano.
Another Lady Chatterley.
Rescuing Elsa would be a wonderful story for my book.
Story? This is not a story. We could all get shot.
Shot? I've got the frescoes to save.
Arabella, you might love art, but art certainly doesn't respond to your affections.
Lady Hester, please.
No, perhaps she's right. Perhaps I'm no good. Maybe I can't paint the way I would like to, but, well, nor could Ghirlandaio or Titian. I mean, look at Schubert. He never even finished that symphony. All artists fail, and perhaps I fail more than most, more than others, but since I've been in this beautiful place, I feel that there is more that I can do, that there is a way of making people understand that I can... Oh, God!
Arabella, just please don't start.
Perhaps we should stop quarrelling.
Why? I'm enjoying it, aren't you?
I'm not quarrelling. I'm simply asking why we should risk our lives for hers.
Because she is in terrible danger.
Mary comes in.
She's just waiting there. She's put her trust in a man who has no intention of helping her to escape. She signed over all her property to him, and now he's planning to get rid of her.
What?
Yeah, Luca and I have tried to tell her she won't listen to a word against him. So she's waiting there for Vittorio, and what will be coming is the Gestapo. Well, Hester, You've got to tell her to go. Luca and his friends have everything ready.
Why? Why me? She doesn't like me. I certainly don't like her.
That's exactly why.
And because you owe it to her.
I don't owe that woman anything.
Oh.
Mary steps back.
Oh, Hester, do you really believe Mussolini has been paying these hotel bills?
Yes, of course. Who else?
Stop living in a fantasy world, Hester. Mussolini doesn't give a damn about you or any of us. It's Elsa who has paid the bills. And never once asked to be thanked.
Ask Luca. He arranged everything.
Lady Hester, shocked. She composes herself and steps towards Luca, who leans against a wall by the door.
Luca? Is this true?
Yes, Lady Hester.
Lady Hester twitches and stands a moment to steady herself and think. Then, with a glance at the others, she hurries out of the room. Mary and Arabella stare after her hopefully. Elsa lies fully clothed, huddled up on her bed in her room.
Elsa, it's Lady Hester. Please open this door. I have to speak with you.
Go away.
I have a message from Vittorio.
With a tear-strewn face, Elsa looks towards the door, then gets up and goes to it. Dawn steps aside. Lady Hester lets herself in and closes the door. Elsa sits on the edge of her bed.
Aren't you rather letting yourself go?
Give me the goddamn message, Hester.
His message is perfectly clear. Mary tells me you've signed everything over to him. All your property?
Yeah.
All your property?
Yes.
And all your money?
Yes.
Well, now he has everything you possess. He wants you arrested and probably dead. He won't be coming here, Elsa. He's keeping well away. He's leaving everything to the Gestapo.
But I have a passport.
The passport is worth nothing. Georgie says it's a death warrant.
I'm scared.
Yes, well, yes, of course you are. Of course you are. We all are. Luca will help you, he and his friends. My grandson's with them. They will help you out of Italy. You must get ready, please.
Elsa gets up.
What do you want to take?
I don't... This.
Lady Hester packs a small case.
Why are you helping me? You always hated me.
Because we're creatures from two different worlds, you and I. Because I have despised you. And you have laughed at me. The Scorpione. And because, in spite of all that, you've been very kind to us. And kept it a secret. And because we've both been very foolish women. We've both trusted men who have turned out to be bastards.
Vittorio.
And Mussolini.
Lady Hester leads her to the door.
Are you trying to get rid of me?
Absolutely.
It's dark. Wilfred runs along by a shore to where Elsa is led by Luca and one of the resistance.
Trousers.
Thank you.
I've just been with your grandmother.
How is she?
She's wonderful, and she's so proud of you, Wilfred, and I'm proud of you, too.
Come on.
Then you might be going.
Okay, remain here until the boat comes.
Okay.
Wilfred runs into the trees with her resistance. Elsa's left with Luca.
Come here, I don't know how much time we have. I want to tell you something.
Luca sits beside her.
I remember when your mother was in trouble.
My mother?
Yes, you were the trouble.
Me?
Yes. Your mother was pregnant with you, and everybody knew that your dad was a liar and he wasn't going to marry her. So none of her friends wanted her to go through with it. But I want you to know something. She really wanted you. You know, she wanted you. And so I said, don't listen to them. They're idiots. Just follow your heart, and if you want him, have him.
Lucas sobs.
So if I hadn't been there for you then, you wouldn't be here for me now.
I wish you didn't have to go.
I wish I didn't have to go either. I'm gonna miss you so much.
I'll always remember you.
And when I come back here and you've got a beautiful wife and a whole bunch of kids, you won't remember me.
I'll still never forget you.
Well, yeah, I am very unforgettable.
But don't tell her that. You know, women get their feelings hurt so easily.
Wilfred and the Resistance return.
The boat's here.
Okay.
It's time to go.
Okay. She follows them along the bank to a little jetty where one of the Resistance waits, holding onto the rope of a small rowing boat. Wilfred turns to her.
There's a fishing boat waiting to meet you about a mile out that will take you to safety. Good luck.
She hugs him, then embraces Luca. She holds up her little finger to Luca. He wraps his around it, and she embraces him again. She climbs into the rowing boat, and Luca hands her bag. She looks up at him sadly as the boat glides away. Luca stands at the edge of the jetty, watching her beautiful hooded figure disappear over the rippling water into the darkness. A twin-engine plane jets across a blue sky. On the ground, a long line of tanks and armored trucks speed along a road kicking up a thick dust trail. The sky is dotted with the mushroom shapes of parachutes. One after the other, they drop into the fields below. Luca runs across a meadow towards an upturned truck from which a plume of black smoke billows out. He pauses as lights signal to him from trees in the distance. He passes the truck and pauses to call out towards the trees.
Are you American?
Luca, in shorts, a check shirt, and with a knotted scarf wrapped round his forehead, runs closer.
Are you English?
No!
Some soldiers emerge from the trees.
We're no bloody English, laddie! We're bloody Scots!
He grins. Luca's fraught face breaks into a relieved smile. An end-to-end line of tanks rumble along a road. Thousands of Scottish troops in brown uniform fill armored trucks. Inns of San Gimignano rise towards an almost cloudless blue sky. The Germans are hidden amongst bushes and trees with their guns poking out, trained on the oncoming stream of allies. They fire on them, and a tank bursts into orange flame. A battle ensues, and blasts of explosions ignite all around, amongst the trees and the fields on the road, disturbing the peaceful land around San Gimignano, July 1944. In the Piazza del Duomo in San Gimignano, a German soldier unravels a roll of wire as he hurries to a colleague crouched beside a detonator. Other soldiers march towards their positions as they prepare for an onslaught. A crowd of civilians run out of the Collegiata. Arabella follows them. She looks down onto the piazza and the soldiers scurrying about, then glances up at the medieval towers.
They're not going to blow up the towers. No, we can't let them do that. No, no, no!
She dashes down the steps as a man and a priest try in vain to stop her. Crouching low, she scurries across the piazza, keeping close to the walls, and heads towards one of the towers. A German soldier spots her and points her out to his general. Arabella gathers up the wire and entwines herself in it. The priest runs into the hotel. The English ladies gather round him. Arabella gathers Nikki to her and stands at the foot of a tower. The Germans gather round. Their general takes out his pistol and aims it at her.
You have got 5 seconds to get out of here. You understand? 5 seconds to get away from here.
The Scorpioni run into the square.
One, two, three.
Stop this nonsense at once! You have no right
to get out of here.
You have no right at all! Do you understand me?
Get out of here, you old fool!
Oh, man. Are we old fools? We are not old fools. You got that one. I'll go there. Come on, Arabella.
They run towards Arabella and the towers. The soldiers try to grab them, but the ladies fight them off. The general watches speechless.
Just you imagine what a hero you'll be! Blowing up old ladies! They'll give you the Iron Cross for that!
He turns to one of his soldiers and shouts an order. The ladies brace themselves against the walls of the towers. On the outskirts of the town, the Scottish trucks and tanks steam ahead, drawing ever closer. German soldiers step out of the surrounding woods with their hands held on their heads in surrender. A German motorbike and sidecar drives into the piazza. A soldier hops out and goes to the general. The general beckons his troops to retreat. They jump into the open backs of departing army trucks. One fires at the walls of the towers just above the ladies. The general salutes the ladies and gets into an army car. Georgie screams after him. The Germans make a run for it, their trucks and cars leaving the piazza and the English ladies behind. The square empties, save for a cloud of dust which soon settles. The ladies of the Scorpioni, able-bodied and wheelchair-bound, stand their ground, defending the towers of San Gimignano. The locals hurry out into the square from their houses and hiding places. As a bell tolls, they run towards the Scorpioni with outstretched arms. Jubilation, as Scottish troops play their bagpipes and march into the square. The townspeople wave flags as the Allied trucks parade slowly onwards, their troops waving to the cheering crowds. Italian girls climb on board with a warm welcome for the boys. Luca, in Allied uniform, sits on the back of one of the Army Land Rovers. A major in the front turns back around to him.
I won't be needing an interpreter for this job.
Which job, sir?
A party of English ladies. Old biddies under some sort of arrest here in San Gimignano. Orders are to move them to a place of safety, down to Rome.
Actually, I think you might need an interpreter, sir.
Why? Do you know them, Innocenti?
Very well, sir.
And do they not understand plain English?
Yes, but they don't understand orders.
Luca sits up on the back of the Land Rover and grins at the joyous celebrations around him. People stand on the steps of the Collegiata waving. Allied troops kiss the cheeks of Italian girls. The ladies of the Scorpioni walk together in a group, cheered, clapped and embraced by the locals. The major approaches the ladies, followed by Luca. Lady Hester turns to him.
We've laid on transport for 0900 hours, so if you could collect your things, we'll move.
Move?
Quick...
Who says?
I do. I have orders.
Orders? My good man, I'm Lady Hester Random. My late husband was His Britannic Majesty's ambassador. I have, as you may imagine, a very special position here. So will you excuse me, please?
She swans past him.
Ladies, I must insist, this is still the front line. If you'll please go to the waiting transport, we really must get moving.
Do be quiet, Major, whoever you are. The Germans and the Italians couldn't get rid of us. There is absolutely no reason why we should surrender.
The ladies of the Scorpioni and the locals applaud her. Luca makes his way through the crowds towards Mary. She turns round. He goes to her and kisses her cheeks.
Supposed to do that. Let me look at you. Oh, you look splendid. The perfect English gentleman.
He salutes her.
Just what your father wants.
Arabella and Georgie rush into the Collegiata.
Oh, Georgie!
They enter the Cappella di Santa Fina and Arabella begins to tug at the pile of sandbags.
Georgie,
Arabella pulls the sandbags down to reveal the fresco.
Is she all right?
Shh. Let her sleep.
She beams and gazes at the untouched fresco in brilliant red, gold, green and white of the funeral of Santa Fina, the patron saint of San Gimignano, by the artist Domenico Ghirlandaio. The saint is depicted on her deathbed with the towers of San Gimignano in the background. The saint, in a red tunic, lies peacefully as though sleeping. Surrounded by onlookers, the fresco depicts the three miracles associated with Fina. The restoration of a blind choir boy's sight, the curing of her nurse's paralyzed hand, and the ringing of San Gimignano's bells, angels on the same step. ITFC audio description by Aileen Downey.
E prima.
frate di bambine,